Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, first we're going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you again for another day. In you we have another way, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, right now that you would touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, Lord Jesus, knowing that your word said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, first of all, the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you, Lord Jesus, you to touch and comfort them as only you can through your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. And then for those dealing with COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then finally, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd and many other wicked situations just like that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the news, on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Wanting to say to those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation. You can ask your questions, give your comments, your prayer praise, prayer requests, or any of those kind of things. We'd be glad to hear from you as we get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org on the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got on the old gospel bus tonight?
Well, we always have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels. They're always with us. Then we have you, Sister Lila, and little old me.
All right, well, let's see what Lila's got for us tonight.
Hi, Missionary Wolfgang.
All right, so what do you got for us tonight, Lila?
I do have some prayer requests for everybody out there, yeah, for all the listeners.
All right, well, let's have it.
Responders. Please pray for my girlfriend, Victoria, that she gets all the help she needs and continues to do good. Pray for me, Sister Emily, my dad, my mama Mary, and also the staff and residents at the nursing home.
Okay.
And also you, of course, and also for Sister Emily's housing.
All right.
And that's all I got for right now.
All right. And Sister Ruth.
Well, I want to praise the Lord for all his blessings, and I'm thanking him that I'm still getting better every day, and even though I have a few little quirks here and there, I'm still hanging loose and getting ready for Jesus to come, and I just get ready to bust loose, and he's coming, I believe, any second now. Just get ready, because you're ready to leave this earth soon if you're saved.
All right.
and everybody knows mine. So are we ready to have a hoedown for Jesus?
Let's get at it.
All right, well, let's dance for Jesus.
The anchor holds Will you kiss me when I'm blue? Will you whisper I love you and make all my dreams come true. Will you share the good and bad? Bring me joy when I am sad. Tell me, darling, are you mine and only mine? Are you mine?
Yes, I am.
All the time?
Yes, I am.
Mine alone?
Yes, sirree.
All my own?
Yes, sirree. No one else will ever do. I'll be yours and I'll be true.
Don't worry, dear. Have no fear, cause I'm yours. Are you mine? Tell me, dear. Will I always have you near? Will the love light always shine in your heart just like in mine? Will you give as well as take? Keep the vows that you will make. Tell me, darling, are you mine and only mine? Are you mine?
Yes, I am.
All the time?
Yes, I am.
Mine alone?
Yes, sirree.
All my own?
Yes, sirree. No one else will ever do. I'll be yours and I'll be true.
Don't worry, dear, have no fear, cause I'm yours. Tell me, darling, are you sure? Will you whisper, yes, I do, and forever love me true? Will you honor and obey? Will you promise not to stray? Tell me, darling, are you mine and only mine? Are you mine?
Yes, I am.
All the time?
Yes, I am.
Mine alone?
Yes, sirree.
All my own?
Yes, sirree. No one else will ever do. I'll be yours and I'll be true.
Don't worry, dear. Have no fear, cause I'm yours. Are you mine?
Yes, I am.
All the time?
Yes, I am.
Mine alone?
Yes, sirree.
All my own?
Yes, sirree. No one else will ever do. I'll be yours and I'll be true.
Don't worry, dear, have no fear, cause I'm yours. Don't worry, dear, have no fear, cause I'm yours.
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed?
Are you washed
in the blood?
In the blood?
In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed?
Are you washed
in the blood?
In the blood?
In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow?
Thank you.
If you'd like to get in contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, at gmail.com. Again, KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer it to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number 1, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday. For the Sunday Gospel Show, get your praise on without leaving the house, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated. Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday,
take me to the King. Don't have much to breathe.
Ruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show. And the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. With Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
don't let me.
It's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. The one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday.
With AJ and the
Squad. With AJ and the Squad. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
And now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we are going into Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 19. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 19.
That one the wicked, and he turned not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul.
Now you notice, he says, if the wicked doesn't turn from his wickedness, and you've warned him, then you delivered your soul. We'll hear that one more time.
Yet, if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul.
And that, once again, is our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, found in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 19. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 19. Amen.
A tongue can accuse, Thank you. Angels descend. ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we
support
this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com. and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay-to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And now it is that time for Timothy Gruber and his Hebrew Word of the Week. Amen.
Oh, there. This is Brother Timothy Gruber coming to you with this week's Hebrew Word of the Week. And the Hebrew Word of the Week for this week is the Hebrew word for Bible, which is Tanakh. Again, that's Tanakh. T-E-N-A-C as in cat, H. Tanakh. Again, it's the Hebrew word for Bible. Basic instructions for leaving earth. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 5, search the scriptures. For in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And again, the Hebrew word of the week for this week is the Hebrew word for Bible, which is Tanakh, spelled T-E-N-A-C, as in cat, H, according to its Hebrew pronunciation, Tanakh. And again, that's the Hebrew word for Bible, basic instructions before leaving. This has been Timothy Gruber coming to you with this week's Hebrew word of the week. Till next time, God bless you and yours.
He's just the blind man in the bleachers, the local hometown fans. And he sits beneath the speakers, way back in the stands. And he listens to the play-by-play, just waiting for one name.
He wants to hear his son get in the game. But the boy's just not a hero. He's strictly second team. Though he runs each night for touchdowns in his daddy's sweetest dreams, he's gonna be a star someday, so you might never tell. But the blind man in the bleachers knows he will. It's the last game of the season on a Friday night at home, and no one knows the reason why the blind man didn't come. And his boy looks kind of nervous, sometimes turns around and stares, just as though he sees the old man sitting there. Local boys are trying, but they slowly lose their will. Another player's down and out and scary in the field. At that time in the locker room, the kid goes off alone, and no one sees him talking on the phone. And the game's already started when he gets back to the team, and half the crowd can hear his coach yell, "Where the hell you been?" Just getting ready for the second half with all his faith, 'cause now you gotta let me in the play. And without another word he turns and runs into the game, and through the silence out to win. And when the game was over, the coach asked him to tell, what was it he was thinking of that made him play so well? "Well, you knew my dad was blind," he said. "Tonight he passed away. The first time that my father's seen me play. It's the last game of the season on a Friday night at home, and no one knows the reason."
Papa, baby, clap for me. Let me hide myself in dreams. It was the Stars congregation. You can see they've been around. And they had the biggest pipe organ of any church in town. But over in the Amen corner of that church, that brother Howe, and he insisted every Sunday on singing in the choir. His voice was cracked and broken. Age had touched his vocal cords. And nearly every Sunday, he'd get behind and miss the words. Well, the choir got so flustered, the church was told and fined that Brother Irma stopped singing, or the choir was going to resign. So the pastor appointed a committee. I think it was three or four. And they got in their big, fine car and drove up to Irma's door. They found the choir's great trouble sitting there in an old armchair, and the summer's golden sunbeam lay upon his snow-white hair. Said York, "We're here, dear brother, with the vestry's approbation to discuss a little matter that affects the congregation. Now, we don't want no singing except what we've taught. The newest tunes are all the rage. The old ones stand for naught. And so we have decided. Are you listening, Brother R? You'll have to stop your singing. It's messing up our choir." The old man raised his head, a sign that he did hear, and on his cheek the three men caught the glitter of a tear. His feeble hands pushed back the locks as white as silk and snow, and he answered the committee in a voice both soft and low. "I've sung the Psalms of David nearly 80 years," said he. "They've been my staff and comfort all along life's way. sorry I disturbed the choir. I guess I'm doing wrong. But when my heart is filled with praise, I can't keep back a song. I wonder if beyond the tide that's breaking at my feet, in that far-off heavenly temple where my master I shall meet, yes, I wonder if when I try to sing the songs of God up high, I wonder if they'll kick me out up there for singing in heaven's choir. A silence filled the little room. The old man bowed his head. The committee went on back to town, but Brother I was dead. The choir missed him for a while, but he was soon forgotten. A few churchgoers watched the door, but the old man entered not. Far away his voice is sweet, and he sings his heart's desire. Where there are no church committees and no fashionable choir. Let me hide myself in
thee. I'm kind of full.
Sweet.
Once there was a shepherd, I've been told, had some sheep who wouldn't stay in the fold. Sunday morning, Wednesday night, checking out every church inside. Shepherd said,
kids, we gotta have a talk.
The ones are gonna get you is the 9 o'clock. So don't you be doing that church hop. 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 Once you get started, you got to get stopped. So don't you be doing that church hop. Some folks go where they get fed, they do. Some folks go where they feel that, do you? Some folks can make up their minds, changing churches all the time. They want something hot, they want something new. But they can't find that perfect view. So don't you be doing that church hop. 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 Once you get started, you just can't stop. So don't be doing that church hop.
City of refuge for me.
On the road. Amen.
Tonight, we got a special little message
that kind of talks about, something was talked about on Motivational Monday. So we want to get right into the scriptures tonight, and we may be a little longer than we want to be on normally on a Wednesday night, but we find this necessary. The first scripture reading we're going to start with is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 to 7.
For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver.
Now you notice here, it says at the very beginning, Paul is talking about what? The poor saints.
Mm-hmm.
Poor saints.
Right.
So obviously there were poor people in the church.
Right.
And Jesus himself reminded us, he said, the poor you will have with you always, but you're not going to have always with you. But the poor you will always have with you. And here, Paul is talking about giving to the poor saints that what? Had some hard times. Which obviously indicates, unlike some people believe, that not all poor people have hard times because they're lazy. People, hard times come upon them because of trials and tribulations that are out of their control. Or he would not have been asking for the Corinthian church, the Galatian church, etc., to be putting together a love gift to help the Jerusalem church, who was going through dire times and persecutions that needed help. That's what was going on here. Amen. So now let us look into our next scripture reading, which is found in James chapter 2, verses 14 to 18.
What does it profit, my brother? Will a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? For brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food? And what have you say unto them? Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, but what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Shew me thy faith without thy works, I will shew thee my faith by my works.
Now, you notice here, this is a scripture that was brought up on Monday. I brought this scripture up, and old Pastor Bonnet had no problem agreeing with this, because obviously it's a scripture.
Right.
See, faith without works is dead.
Right.
This is a scripture where a lot of people, the excuse is used. When a poor person comes up to you, I'll pray for you. Well, also the excuse is used,
Oh, well, they're lazy. Well, we're going to take care of that little issue in a little bit as to what God defines as true laziness. We're going to define that as to what the Bible talks about as true laziness, or a person who really has a real need tonight. We're going to define that. Because God tells you what a true lazy person or a sluggard is. God makes it very plain what a true lazy person is. That ends up into poverty. That's poor. We're going to define that tonight and make it very plain. Not all poor people are lazy. But all sluggards are poor. The Bible says that. But not all poor people are sluggards. There's a big difference. And we'll make that very plain as we continue. But right here, we see the scripture that says very plainly, you show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my work. Because if you tell somebody, well, I'll pray for you, but you don't put any faith to that prayer, what profit, what result does it have? That's what James had to say. Amen. Now, you notice here in our next scripture, which was also used on Monday, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, it says this, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye to them likewise, for this is the law and the prophets. You notice this present tense. This is, not past tense, but is present tense. But you notice, ask yourself this question. If the poor person was one of your own, your child, your brother, your sister, your cousin, would you see them going out in 30-degree temperatures, snowing and blowing weather? Would you let that happen? Would you say to them, oh, I pray for you? Especially if you knew their situation was forced upon them? Would you do that? Oh, well, they're not of my kind. Let me tell you something, honey. If you prick your finger, it comes out red. If Emily pricks her finger, it comes out red. If I prick my finger, it comes out red. If Pastor Bonnet pricks his finger, it comes out red. If Six pricks his finger, it comes out red. If a Japanese man pricks his finger, it comes out red. I don't care where you are on this planet. You prick your finger, it comes out red. The only way it'll come out green is if you came off Mars. Amen. Amen to that preaching. You say amen to that preaching. The only way it comes out green is if you came off Mars. And God didn't say nothing about life forms on Mars. Amen, amen, amen. No one else amen me. I'll amen myself. Amen. So if you're living on this planet, it comes out red. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17, we're all made of one blood. You're of the human race. Your blood comes out red. So we're all of the human race. So yes, you are of my kind. I am of your kind. So get rid of that nonsense. And then if you're a child of God, if you claim to be blood-bought born again, here's something for you to think about. Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. Whatsoever you do to the least of these, my brethren, this is Christ speaking, you do unto me. Now, if they are one of Christ's brethren, what you do to them, you did to Christ. Would you send Christ out into the street in 30 below weather? Especially when the circumstances were forced upon him? Would you do that? Would you say, oh, well, wait a minute, excuse me, homeboy, the Bible says Jesus of his own testimony said, I, the Son of Man, had no place to lay his head. He was homeless. Are you trying to say he was lazy? Let me hear that again. Did you say Jesus Christ was lazy? He had Judas Iscariot carry the bag that people gave a little bit of money into, but he was not a wealthy man. No, he was homeless. He stayed where people allowed him to stay, but he did not own a home. So he was technically homeless. Would you, if Jesus were here today, would you kick him out in 30-degree below weather? If circumstances were forced upon him, that he lost his place to sleep, would you stick him out in the cold? Think about it. Amen. Okay, now let us look into Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 to 11.
Go to the ant, my sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man.
Now, do you notice that? You notice how that ended? How long will thou, notice the key word, sleep, O sluggard, and poverty come to want? You notice that? So what happens to the sluggard? Because he's sleeping, that means he's lazy. The sluggard is lazy. He chooses to be lazy. He ends up in poverty because he chooses to be lazy. Not all poor people choose to be poor. Let me give you an example. Are you telling me the family that's doing well, wake up in the middle of the night smelling smoke, realize their house is ablaze, run out the door in their night clothes, and their house burns to nothing but ashes, they no longer have their IDs, no longer have their Social Security cards, no longer have their bank cards, no longer have their checkbook. And all they got is maybe $100 in the bank. Are you telling me they're lazy? The man and his wife both still have their jobs, but they got to still wait till the next payday. Where are they going to sleep until that next payday that comes in 2 weeks? Come on, scratch your head. You biased, stuck up, snobbish, holier-than-thou Christians. Are they lazy? No. Had nothing to do with being lazy. Had to do with circumstances that were beyond their control. They didn't intend for their house to burn down in the middle of the night because of some electrical fire. They didn't intend to wake up and see their house on flames. and it being the middle of winter time, they didn't want their house to burn down. And you're going to say, oh, well, they're lazy, so I'm not going to give them any money to help them along. You dirty, rotten scumbag, you.
No, that's not
really what you dirty, rotten devil, you. Excuse me, but not all poor people are poor because they're lazy. Some poor people are poor because they were forced into it.
Yeah, true.
They were forced into circumstances that were beyond their control.
Yeah.
And then they had to pull themselves up by their bootstraps.
Start over.
And start all over. And in order to do so, they got to sit there and take a long time to do that.
Yeah.
And that's where they need a little bit of help. Oh, well, they should come to my clothing bank here, and I'll give it, yeah, 10-year-old clothes that are outdated. And then when they come to your church to sit in your pew, all you and your holier-than-thou people are going to look down their noses at them like, ew, you're out of style. Amen. You don't want to amen that preaching, I'll amen it. Bless God, I'll amen it. And you know I'm right. You holier than thou. You snob. It's exactly what you'll do. Oh, yeah, you'll brag about, oh, you, but you won't go down to the store and buy them that $800 pair of shoes, will you? You dirty, rotten dog, you. You'll make sure you give them a pair of $15 used shoes that you wore 10 years ago that are just about ready to wear out. Oh, yeah. That's what you'll do. And then talk about how out of style they are. And stick your nose up. You'll give them a little food from your food pantry, stuff that you won't even eat yourself. I don't see you sitting in your food pantry eating. No, you go down to McDonald's. You go down to Applebee's. Bob Evans. Ooh, yeah. I don't see you taking them over there to Bob Evans, now do you? Red Lobster. I don't see you taking them. Amen. I'm preaching now. I don't see you taking them there. No, you'll come on over to our food bank. Feed them stuff that sometimes ain't even fit for a dog. Amen. Okay, so you don't believe that a sluggard is a lazy person. You believe that all poor people are lazy. Okay, let's look in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4.
Okay, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing.
Well, what did we know? Still the same thing here, boys. Same thing. See, the sluggard, that's the lazy person. That's the person who's lazy. Not all poor people are lazy. But all lazy people are poor. I'll grant you that. But not all poor people are lazy. There are some lazy, some poor people. There are some poor people that will break their neck every way they can and still not get ahead. Amen. And finally, here's what we want you to get this point. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 20.
Poor is hated even of his own neighbor. But the rich have many friends.
Now, you notice something important here in God's word. What does it say? We're talking about the poor, the truly poor. What does it say about them? It says that the poor is hated of even his neighbor. Who's his neighbor? Who did Jesus say your neighbor is? Anyone in this whole world. But the rich has many friends. But let me tell you something, Mr. Rich Man. Are they truly your friends? Are they truly your friends? The Bible says, a friend sticketh closer than a brother. A true friend. A true friend don't care about how much money you got. A true friend sticks by you no matter what. A true friend doesn't care if you're poor. But if you're rich and you got lots and lots of friends, you need to ask yourself, what kind of friends are they? You want the test of what kind of person you are? Be poor and find out what it's like. Now, here's something that's sad and really, really saddens me. On the Saturday night program, DJ Six Eyes and ATL show, on the Sunday Gospel show, we made a plea because of Sister Emily and her need for housing and help with donations trying to get that. Because by this Friday, she's going to be out of the place she's in. She's in a hotel. Now, here's the situation. As I pointed out at the beginning of this message, there are some poor people that are forced into their situation. This is another one of those situations. Sister Emily happens to have a condition that causes her not to be able to comprehend things like the average Joe. She's slower than most. So she cannot do like your ordinary mathematics, whatever. So she has to have what they call a payee, someone that takes control of her money for her to pay her bills, her rent, etc., called a payee. She also has what they call a case manager over her that is supposed to take care of making sure she has housing and, for example, if she loses an apartment or whatever, to help her get another one. Well, the situation was payee and this case manager, instead of doing the jobs they were paid to do by the government, because they're government employees, instead of doing the job they're paid to do when she lost her last apartment, they monkey fiddled around, and then to give her housing, they put her into a motel because for a while she was just plain homeless and on the streets. When she gained enough money in her bank account that the payee had in the bank account, they used that money to pay for hotel rooms. Well, that money was sucked dry. But neither of them worked to get her any type of housing. And now, by this Friday, she will be out of a place to live. Has nothing to do with Emily being lazy. Emily is the most active person that I know. And will do anything. She even works with me on blind trucking, doing volunteer hauling and different things. She does artwork to try to help our blind ministry. But the type of things that she's capable of doing are not suitable for employment. She's tried it. It just won't. Doing so, she is in the kind of situation, as I explained, a person put into poverty by circumstance. And now she's being forced into being homeless because of circumstances that were outside her control, that she did not start, she did not make. And what? Somebody has the gall to say that all poor people are lazy, which the scripture does not support. So if you're out there and you would like to help her with this situation that's outside her control, once again, you can send a donation. Go to our website at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HolinessBiblesFortheBlind.org. Go straight to the bottom where it says Love Offerings on that homepage, and you could use either your PayPal or your credit card right there on that Love Offerings button. It is a PayPal button, so it is secure for you, and you could donate right there to this cause. And in your instructions, just put donation for Emily Barnum, okay? We would much appreciate that. God bless you, and we'll catch you next Wednesday for the next Wednesday night Bible study and the next message. Amen. For Sister Ruth to tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
We've all heard the saying, if it weren't for bad luck, used to be the story of my life. When Jesus came and found me, put his loving arms around me, found that life was nothing but a story full of lies. If it weren't for bad luck, you used to hear me say, but now thank God he's given hope, I thank him every day. If it weren't for bad luck, such foolish would be he.
Something to happen until it happens to you. When it finally does, you don't know what to do. Once the unexpected comes along, who do you turn to? God. When it seems your life has gone down the drain, every day is like dark clouds filled with rain, who's the only one who can ease your pain? God. When you feel you can't go on another day, and trials and tribulations may come your way, to whom do you get on your knees and pray? God. When a stressful problem weighs you down and it takes over your body pound for pound, who is the one who will always be around? God. When you struggle and constantly try and it seems like happiness passes you by, to whom will you draw nigh? God. When your soul is filled with doubt and hardships seem to come about, just remember you would be nothing without God. When you are blessed from above and led in the right path, thereof who holds the power of love? God. So next time you feel you can't get through and there's nobody that can help you, try praying to God.
All right, Ruthie, now that you've heard that song and that poem, can you give us the common message between the two?
Yeah, I think I can. Basically, you're talking about work for bad luck on the first song there. and that's mostly kind of a cute song, but they're trying to say that you can, even if you have trouble, you know, the Lord will be there. Same with the poem. The Lord will be there for you, especially if you pray to him and with all your heart live for him. It's a lot more comfortable in life.
Okay, so what would you say is the common message?
They're both about how, even though you have trouble in life, like I said, the Lord is with you and you pray about it.
So you're trying to say, in short, when you have trouble, well, definitely got it. So you're 7 for 7. And because that's what it is. If you if you're having bad luck or hard times, who do you turn to? God. That's what the poem said. So,
so
that's what you do.
So, what else did you want to do?
All right. So, anything else you want to give comment?
I just love the show. I have so much fun on the program. Just thank the Lord for what he does for us. Let's all praise his name.
All right. And now, we'll continue with the program. Amen. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
When the beast should walk among us, and many so far away, and in war and desolation, nation rising against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn.
Thank you.
Okay, this is the lesson, the two vines. Unfortunately, a great number of people do not understand the difference between being transferred and being born again or grafted from the heavenly vine. That's why you often hear people say, I was born again, but I backslid. I fell away. If they knew the honest truth of God's word, they wouldn't talk like that. We have a heavenly vine, and we have the vine of the earth. Please note two portions from the Bible. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Ye are the branches. John 15, 1 and 5. This portion of scripture tells us there is a heavenly vine, and we, living here on the earth, are merely spiritual branches connected to that heavenly vine. If we have been born again of the Spirit of God, here's the second portion of scripture telling about the vine of the earth. Scripture, and the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Revelation 14, 19, KJV. For these two portions of scripture, we see that there is a heavenly vine and there is an earthly one. Every person born into this world is attached to the earthly vine by natural birth. If he remains attached to the earthly vine, he's naturally going to produce the fruits which that particular vine produces, listed in these verses from God's word. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. There are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. The which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5, 19 to 21, KJV. In these three verses of scripture, we have 17 kinds of fruit produced by those attached to the earthly vine, and the Bible plainly tells us that those who are attached to the earthly vine and remain so attached, producing these kinds of fruit, shall not enter the kingdom of God because they're sin. Therefore, you could begin to see the necessity of being transferred from the earthly vine to the heavenly vine, and not only transferred, but grafted into the heavenly vine. That's why the Bible so emphatically tells us, Scripture, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again, John 3, 7, KJV. The earthly vine has a sap flowing through it, which affects the life of everyone attached to it. The moment a person is born physically into this world, the sap of the earthly vine, which is death, darkness, and hatred, begins to flow or manifest itself in that individual's life. That's why the Scripture says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they can be born, speaking lies. Psalm 58:3, KJV. Beginning to see the need for a supernatural power to take effect in the life of every person born into this world who has the sap of death, darkness, and hatred influencing his life because it's naturally attached to the earthly vine. The condition of the individual who has never been born of the Spirit of God is one of destitution, sadness, spiritual destruction because he's attached to the earthly vine. If he's ever going to glorify God in any measure, he must be transferred and grafted into the heavenly vine. This gives us the reason for the new birth. As you know, we are all descendants of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve sinned, and that moment they died spiritually. That is, through sin, they separated themselves from a holy God. That was spiritual death. Physical death is separation of body and spirit. When children were born unto Adam and Eve, they were both spiritually dead for the same reason that like produces like. Adam and Eve sinned and became spiritually dead, so they produced spiritually dead children. We're told this is in the Bible as we read, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. That's Psalm 51:5. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies. Psalm 58:3. That's why we send our children to Bible school so they will learn to tell the truth. They are born natural liars because father and mother before them were fibbers. Two fibbers produce another little fibber. You're going to have to teach your children to tell falsehoods. They'll do it automatically and naturally. That sin is in their hearts, and they too are attached to the vine of the earth in the sin of ignorance.
and they are not held responsible or accountable for that sin until they reach the age of accountability. Some people think that's 12 years old. For that sin until they reach the age of accountability. Now, you must remember, my dear friend, when a person is born into this world, God is not that person's father in the spiritual sense. He becomes that person's father spiritually when the individual is born again. At the time of the new birth, God becomes a real spiritual father, but we are told in Scripture he is not such until spiritual regeneration takes place. Now we got a Scripture. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Mark 12:27, person born into this world is attached to the earthly vine and is dead in his trespasses and sins, as the Scripture says. Here's the Scripture. You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. John 4:44. So we see the reason for the new birth to transfer us from the earthly vine to the heavenly vine, and through a spiritual process to graft us into the heavenly vine so we may produce the fruits of the Spirit. Too many people love the idea that when they are transferred, they are born again, but the Scripture teaches that a person must be grafted into the heavenly vine after he's transferred from the earthly one. The Bible tells us there are two vines, the earthly vine and the heavenly vine. The sap which flows through the heavenly vine is life, light, and love, whereas the sap which flows through the earthly vine is death, darkness, and hatred. These two vines produce fruit through their branches. God is the husbandman of the heavenly vine, and those who have been grafted into that vine are the branches. Naturally, the two vines produce different kinds of fruit through their individual branches. The earthly vine produces 17 kinds of fruit. Following Scripture tells us if we are grafted into the heavenly vine, we will produce from 1 to 9 different kinds of heavenly fruit. Scripture, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, Galatians 5:22-23, KJV. Every person born into this world is attached to the earthly vine through physical birth, but when he is transferred from the earthly vine to the heavenly vine and successful grafting takes place, instead of the sap of the earthly vine, which is death, hatred, and darkness, flowing through that person, the sap of the heavenly vine, which is life, light, and love, begins to flow, and that person will immediately begin to produce from 1 to 9 of the heavenly fruits. Because we are both attached to the earthly vine, spiritually speaking, it's necessary for us to be taken off the earthly vine and grafted into the heavenly vine to be saved and have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Just as a branch on a tree is unable to transfer itself to another tree, so the sinner is unable to transfer himself from the earthly vine to the heavenly vine. But let me tell you that God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit have a means by which the transfer of the sinner can be accomplished, providing that individual is willing. Scripture, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated or transformed us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, Colossians 1:13-14. The transfer from the earthly vine to the heavenly vine, part of God's overall plan, is described in John's Gospel, where we read, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. That's John 3:7. KJV. Four verses preceding this verse in John's Gospel, John backs up exactly what I've been telling you by saying, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:3, KJV. The sinner, whom the Scripture calls a branch, must be transferred from the earthly vine to the heavenly vine. And then the second step, or the final process, takes place in his spiritual life, so we can begin to have the sap of the heavenly vine flowing through him. We call this step the grafting process. Sure, some of you are familiar with the process of grafting trees and shrubs. Out on the farm when my grandpa was a child, it would take a tender shoot from a favorite tree, bring it over to another tree, one with a larger trunk and more stability, proper place on the choice limb, make an incision and insert the tender shoot. Then he would take and seal the wound, wrapping the entire incision with cloth, tightly binding it with string or binder cord. then begin the long wait to see if the grafting was going to take hold and produce a new branch. So the same thing happens when a sinner is transferred from the earthly vine to the heavenly vine. If that branch is not properly grafted into the heavenly vine, the sap from the heavenly vine will not flow into the branch, and that branch will not take hold and grow so it may produce fruit. Eventually, it will wither up and die. Now, here's the scripture. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. That's Romans 11:17-19, KJV. Here we find the Bible speaking of the sinner as being grafted into the heavenly vine after having been transferred from the earthly vine. With some people, these two distinct acts, the transfer and the grafting, take place almost instantaneously, while the others, a period of days, months, or even years may exist before they're being transferred and they're being grafted. That's why some people will say, when they come forward in a church meeting to accept Christ as Savior, I was born again about 10 years ago, but I fell away. What they really mean is that they were transferred about 10 years ago, but they were never grafted into the heavenly vine. If they had been grafted in, they would have been born again, and they would have been attached to the heavenly vine. So they would have been producing heavenly fruit, which means people get saved because they do soul winning. When a person is transferred to the heavenly vine and grafted into that vine, the sap of life, light, and love begins to flow through him or her and produce from 1 to 9 of the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, etc. We read of those in Galatians 5:22-23, KJV. So another person who is attached to the earthly vine may be transferred to the heavenly vine, but because of sin in his heart or his personality and fleshly desires, the grafting does not take place after he's transferred or is not successful. God will take that person away from the heavenly vine and eventually cast them into hell, as the scripture says. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. A man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned, John 15:2-6. Some people are under the impression that a person can be grafted and later ungrafted, or a popular expression says, fall from grace. In other words, this so-called falling from grace means that you could be lost to go to hell after you have been born again or grafted into the heavenly vine. It's absolutely untrue and cannot be substantiated anywhere in Scripture. The reason most people believe a person can be lost after he's been saved is because they've been taught several misinterpreted passages of Scripture. Falling from grace simply means that a Christian sin will rob him from the benefits or graces or favors which he receiveth through being grafted into the heavenly vine and united to Christ. His union with Christ is not severed. He only robs himself of the blessings, not the union with the heavenly 90. Vine. Some people refer to Lot's wife as support for their theory of falling from grace by saying that Lot's wife was saved and that Lot, such was not the case. In her heart, Lot's wife never left Sodom. Bible says she looked back, her heart was in Sodom, and the Bible says, where the treasure is, there will your heart be also. Another scripture referred to deals with Judas, and some people try to say that Judas was saved and then lost. The scripture teaches emphatically that Judas was never transferred from the heavenly vine to the heavenly vine. Neither was he grafted into the heavenly vine, because we read, Jesus answered him, or them, the 12 disciples, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil? John 5:70, KJV. The Bible clearly states that Judas might go to his own place. That's Acts 1:25. Another portion of scripture used by some people in an endeavor to prove that a person can be saved and then lost is found in the book of Hebrews. I suggest you read this portion very carefully and pay careful attention to the wording. You note that it does not say anything about being born again or being grafted into the heavenly vine. Scripture, for it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. If they shall fall away, it's impossible to renew them again unto repentance, since seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame, Hebrews 6:4-6. In that portion of Scripture, you will note three astounding words, enlightened, tasted, and partakers. In none of these verses did you read that the sinner believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. That's exactly why he fell away. He didn't believe in Christ. When a person is born again, he's passed from death unto life, which means that he has been grafted into the heavenly vine, and the sap of life, light, and love flows from the vine into him. Once a person is born again, he becomes a new creature in Christ and is grafted into the heavenly vine. That person is saved. That person will not commit murder. He's not steal. He'll not swap wives with his neighbor. He'll not do 10,000 other things which appeal to the fleshly appetites because he has become a new creature in Christ. Scripture, therefore, if any man be in Christ, grafted into the heavenly vine, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, KJV. This verse of Scripture tells us that a sinner who is born again becomes a new creature, a new creation in Christ, in order to bring this marvelous work about. The great redemptive power of God had to be put into operation. It took God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit working 4,000 years to perfect the great plan of salvation by which a sinner could be changed, born again, grafted into the heavenly vine, and become a son of God. That's why Jesus Christ said on the cross, "It is finished," John 19:30, KJV. In order that a person might be unborn and become a sinner again, another great power working reverse the finished work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit would have to be put into operation. If there were such a power in the world, one would could do unto the work of God once it had been finished, it would seem that he would know about it and be connected or conscious of its activity, and somewhere in the Bible he would be held and told about that power. Satan cannot destroy eternal life and substitute death in its place. No born-again person can be taken to hell by Satan because that person has been transferred from the earthly time to the heavenly vine, and the grafted process has been successful because it has, that individual has become a new creature in Christ and has received eternal life. We are considering the difference between being transferred and being grafted. Many sinners are transferred from the earthly vine to the heavenly vine, but because the grafting does not take effect, they fall away and again find themselves on the earthly vine. That is doing the things they used to do before they were supposedly converted. In this lesson, we've been looking at particular scriptures in Hebrews 4:6-6. Thus, we saw that it was impossible for a person who has been enlightened, who's tasted and become a partaker of the heavenly gift, to be renewed unto repentance to that person through his own willful sins and desires, go back into the world because he may have crucified the Son of God fresh and put him to open shame. The truly born-again individual could be unborn and do go back to being a sinner. The new birth would be a farce. In other words, after every evangelistic meeting, there are usually those who fall away or they backslide. In order to backslide, my dear friend, you must slide forward first. My experience with the majority of so-called backsliders is that they never slid forward in the first place and were doting themselves during a favor. When you say it's slidden backwards, whether you want to accept it as face value or not, the Bible clearly states that nothing will pluck you out of God's hand. Once you are securely in his hand, when the Bible, Word of God says, nothing, it means that's what it says. It means your own will power cannot pluck you out of God's hand. It means you cannot walk out of God's hand for the same reason that you will not desire to do so. You became a a new creature when you go grafted into the heavenly vine. Through the heavenly vine flows the sap of life, light, and love. This sap falling out the vine into you, a branch should produce from 1 to 9 fruits of the Spirit. A branch which will produce 1 to 9 fruits of the Spirit, which are free joy, are love produced from 1 to 9 fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, etc. You can read the list of them in Galatians 5:22-23. Okay, when you become a new creature, you have new ambitions, new desires, new ideals, new aspirations, new willingness of heart to adhere to the Bible plans of Christian living. You were a branch on the heavenly vine, but now you have been grafted into the therapy line, or heavenly vine, and you will produce heavenly fruit. If you could change a hog into a sheep, you would not have to worry about that hog going into a mud hole. But you know very well that you cannot change a hog into a sheep. You can take the pig out of the quagmire mud, bathe him in his fitness of Miele or toilet soaps, sprinkle sweet-smelling perfume on him until he smells like an angel, tie a beautiful pink ribbon around his neck, and put an extra twist in the curl in his tail. But you don't put a fence around him or tie a rope around him and control him. That pig will get right back into the mud again. The only way you'll keep that pig out of the mud is to make him a sheep. That is to change him. A sheep despises mud. If you could manage to change a pig into a sheep, he would never become dirty by wallowing in a mud hole. Once a sinner is transferred from the earthly vine, where he produced 1 to 17 fruits of the flesh, and is grafted into the heavenly vine, where he produces from 1 to 9 of the heavenly fruits, you'll find he is perfectly happy in his new surroundings and environment, and he will have no inner desire to go back to his old ways of living. If you look at the parable of the sower, that's in Luke 8:4-15, you will find 4 classes of people. All 4 classes were transferred from the earthly vine to the heavenly vine. But if you will carefully read verses 8 and 15, you'll see that only those in the 4th class were actually grafted into the heavenly vine. The grafting process of the other 3 classes are not successful because the wills, desires, ambitions, and circumstances of the people interviewed or intervened. They went back to the vine of the earth. Persons in the fruit class were some 30% and some 60% and some 100%. Judas was a typical example of a person who is transferred, but in whom the graft is not successful. In 1 John 2, we read, they went out from us, but they were not of the us, for they had been of us. They would no doubt have confused with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that were not all of us. That's 1 John 2:19, KJV. During an evangelistic meeting some time ago, a man said that he was coming forward to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior. He said he accepted him several times previously, but he had fallen from grace. He wanted to accept him again. Of course, what happened to that man was that he had been transferred several years previously from the earthly vine to the heavenly vine, and by the mercy of God, he'd been allowed to remain transferred to the heavenly vine, but the grafting process did not take effect, and the man did not produce even one little pomegranate of fruit. In God, now, he said, he realized his mistake and he wanted to start all over again. This time the grafting would no doubt be successful and to the man who bear fruit from that time on. So you can see there's much confusion and misunderstanding in the religious world today about the difference between grafted and being transferred. It's time we knew the facts and quit dilly-dallying around what is God's word. Most people do not understand that they are born as a branch in the heavenly vine and the earthly vine, and in order to inherit eternal life, they must be transferred and grafted into the heavenly vine through the new birth. But we have witnessed the parable of the sower in Luke 8. where we read of four different classes of people. They were all transferred from the earthly vine to the heavenly vine, but three of them fell away because the grafting into the heavenly vine was not successful. None of the first three were naturally born again. Only those in the fourth class were grafted into the heavenly vine, and they became fruit-producing Christians. We also have this teaching in Matthew chapter 13. Read the whole chapter, please. Some of you may be asking, if a person is transferred from the earthly vine to the heavenly vine and the grafting does not take effect, what's the first explanation? May I say, trouble does not lie with God. It is with the transferred sinner itself. A little girl was asked why she fell out of bed in the middle of the night. She answered, I went to sleep too near where I got in. The moment some people seem to accept Jesus Christ as Savior, immediately they let down. They are under the impression that they're all they have to do. They think the whole transaction is finished. They forget, or else they do not know that the same effect is required after they have professed as best as they made what they professed in the first place. Please read some profound scripture very carefully. They may shock you, but otherwise, nevertheless, it's God's word. Now, here's a scripture. Wherefore, I were given unto an exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, referring to the heavenly vine, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, and in temperance, patience, and in patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity or love. For if these things be in you, these, my dear friends, are part of the fruits of the heavenly vine, and abound they make you, that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For if ye did these things, ye shall never fall. 2 Peter 1, 4 through 10. So be doers of the word and not hearers only. James 1, 22, KJV. The very moment you show God that you really mean business, you are in earnest, and that you love him, he will give you eternal life. From the moment you receive eternal life, you will know it, because the Bible says the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 8, 16, KJV. I ask you, are you absolutely sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Bible says, and whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life, referring to the Lamb's Book of Life, was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, 15. It's so simple to be transferred from the earthly vine to the heavenly vine and be grafted into it that most people overlook it. For instance, a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. How much of the work is performed by the caterpillar? Practically none. The work is well done by God, or, as we say, by nature. All the caterpillar does is to crawl up a tree, put some glue out of its mouth on the roof and the little branch, fasten itself into the glue and hang there for 21 days. Its skin dries up, shrinks back, splits open after 21 days, and becomes a beautiful butterfly. When it exercises and swings, pumping the blood out of its body into them, in less than 2 hours, it's flying around in the air, a butterfly feasting on the sweet nectar of God's gorgeous flowers. What a marvelous transformation from crawling in the dirt of this earth to floating listlessly as one of God's beautiful creatures. All the caterpillar did was to obey the voice of God, climb up a tree, and wait for his tremendous transformation to take place. Are you willing to submit yourself to God's great plan of salvation? As a born-again Christian, I do understand everything that takes place in this great plan in every detail. No, the details of God's plan of salvation are too intricate for the human mind to understand completely. But I believe in it, and I trust God to work it out. Why don't you? I look at the great plan of salvation and see a beer-drinking baseball player trust God. Then I see the transformed Billy Sunday. He led more than a million people to God on another occasion. An insignificant shoe twerk willingly accepted the great salvation of plan of God. He was Dwight L. Moody, who led hundreds of thousands of people to God. In England, a cursing tinker, a member of Pots and Pans, also yielded his heart and life to God. And we see a new John Bunyan, who gave us the immortal Pilgrim's Progress. As agnostic lawyer was willing to humbled himself before the Lord, and he became a changed Charles Finney, who also led hundreds of thousands of souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. In your realm of acquaintances, you no doubt can see, in your mind's eye, outstanding workers for the Lord today who submitted themselves to God's great plan of salvation, and these hearts are on fire for God, making them willing to devote their whole lives to the proclaiming of God's message, salvation and redemption through Jesus Christ. Why don't you give yourself right now to Christ, my dear reader, or listener, I mean, if you've never been truly born again, he has a particular job for you to do. There's no one else you can do this. You can't. God is willing for you to say yes to him. In the future, please don't make the mistake of saying that everybody who's been transferred from the earthly vine to the heavenly vine was grafted in and became a child of God. Just because a person was transferred does not mean he was grafted. When a person is grafted, he will produce fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100%. If the grafting does not take place, that individual will produce no fruit, and the husbandman will come along and cut that dead, unfruitful branch from the vine, and it will cast into the fire and burn. And those who produce the fruits of the Spirit, that is the fruits of the heavenly vine, Peter says, if you do these things, you shall never fail. And now we have the next lesson is the two witnesses.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617. Welcome to the Six Eyes Stay Warm But Safe segment, where it is better to be warm and safe than cold and in your grave. Today I'd like to talk to you about safety with different types of heating. First of all, let me talk to you about furnaces, whether gas, propane, or oil. First of all, have your furnace looked at by a well-qualified technician, not your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, your brother, whatever, that claims they know what they're doing, but a well-qualified technician who has went to school for such things. Also, be sure to change your air filter once a month, and be sure there are no debris, etc., around your furnace. Moving on, let's talk about fireplaces. We're talking about the gas-type fireplaces or wood-burning fireplaces. These areas must be well vented through a chimney. Be sure there is no clutter near the hearth, etc., and children should not be allowed to play in such an area. Also, be sure there is no debris close to the area that could catch fire. Now let's talk about space heaters. There are many types on the market today. First, let's talk about electric space heaters. Be sure all electric space heaters have the shut-off feature. Should they be tipped over, they shut off automatically. Secondly, be sure to cord on a monthly basis. What you should check for is, one, where the plug plugs into the wall socket. Be sure while the unit is working and running that the plug is not getting warm. If it gets warm, replace the electric heater. This is because it can overheat the plug and cause melting of the plug and an electrical fire. Secondly, check the length of the cord from the plug to the electric heater to make sure there is no melting or fraying of the cord, which can cause a fire. Also, be sure all cords are not under or around the space heater itself where it can be overheated or cause a trip hazard. Next, space heater should have. All space heaters should have a clearance or space between the heater and all objects near them. This is easily accomplished by putting your left leg near the heater and your right leg next to the object you want to make sure there's space between. You should be able to stand easily between the two without cramping yourself. This is at least a 2-foot space or span. Also, above the space heater, there should be nothing between the space heater and the ceiling. This will give it proper room for allowing heat to escape the heater without causing fire. The reason for this is, if, for example, wooden furniture is near it, the furniture can become overheated, dry out, and thus cause a fire. Objects such as cardboard or paper can easily become overheated and ignite. Cloth objects can easily overheat and become ignited and cause a fire. This is why there should always be a 2-foot span around the heater and at least over the top of the heater from the top of the heater to your ceiling should be always clear. And never, ever touch a space heater with your bare hands while it is running. Electric heaters that have fans, do not place anything on the area of the space heater where the fan is pulling air into the fan, known as the intake valves. This can cause the heater to overheat and burst into flames. Also, put nothing on the outgoing air because of the same reason for the cause of fire. In fact, nothing should be on any space heater of any type because of the reason that they can cause fire. Now let's talk about propane and kerosene heaters. These types of space heaters burn with an ignition source and flame. They put off CO2 due to the igniting process and the burning process. These space heaters require proper venting. They should not be used in a closed house without proper ventilation. Without proper ventilation, these heaters could cause the CO2 to build up. You would start to feel sleepy, fall asleep, and never wake up again to see your family, and they would be very saddened at your passing. So do not use these space heaters without proper ventilation. Finally, let's talk about what they call torpedo heaters or propane heaters. Some also are run by kerosene, and these heaters have a fan that takes the heat source and makes it at an extreme heat, more heat for the buck, as they say. The fan blows across the heat source and makes it hotter. These heaters are usually used in a garage-type environment. Once again, because of the heat source, propane or kerosene must be properly vented. Should never be used inside of a home without proper ventilation due to the CO2 buildup. As I stated before, this is true of all heaters, no matter their type, whether in your fireplace, space heater, torpedo heater, whatever. Young children, teenagers, or yes, even you adults should never allow children to play around them, nor should you touch them while in operation. These are causes for serious burns. We do not want you to be burned due to your space heater. Remember, proper space for your heater, proper checking of the electrical, and proper use are all important when using heaters. And finally, we want to reiterate with what we started with at the beginning of this segment. At the Six Eyes Radio Network, we want you to be safe but warm, because it is better to be warm and safe than cold and dead. If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Skies Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's SIXEYES RADIO. After you've entered that and clicked enter, then you'll see us pop up there. And once we do, just click subscribe. And once you do, you'll have us right there at your fingertips 7 days a week. And you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app. The iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, click on that app. Then, when you're on there, you type in their search box, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that, click enter. You'll see us pop up there. Then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week. And you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address. 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter, $S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And finally, once again, that information, if you wish to send a donation to help Emily out with her situation, go to our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HolinessBiblesFortheBlind.org. Go straight down the homepage to where you see love offerings. Click that, and you'll be able to use our secure PayPal link, and you can use your PayPal or credit card to make that donation, and you could leave where it says we're special instructions. Just type in there, donation for Emily Barnum. And we would appreciate that. And once again, God will richly bless you for your donation. And we thank you very, very much. All right, Sister Ruth, who do we got with us here at the end of the gospel bus tonight?
Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels, we have you. Another caller that does not want to be talking, so I respect this person. and it's just me. But this person didn't want to speak, so I'm just going to leave them be a listener.
All right. Well, unless they press number one, they can they got the opportunity if they wish to have any prayer requests or prayer praises. They can press a number one. We'll
Wait a minute. She does want to speak, so I'll let her.
Okay.
It's Sister Emily. I just didn't want she wanted to speak, so it's Sister Emily.
All right.
No, it's Donald Duck.
All right, Sister Emily, any questions, comments, or prayer requests for us tonight?
When I got back to the motel tonight, I don't know who the person was. All I can say is whoever this person was that was not breathing.
Okay.
I don't know who it was because when they brought him out, they were in a body bag.
Okay.
So
we'll pray.
This person wasn't doing good earlier today before I left. I come back and they're gone.
Well, so God knows the name and the family. Yep, God knows the name and the family for sure. All right, and so did you enjoy the program tonight, Emily?
Yes, I did. And I was sitting here when you were doing that message of yours. Good thing I was on mute because I was sitting here laughing. Six would have had my head if I went accidentally unmuted myself and started laughing.
Yeah. Well, it would have been nice if you were unmuted and said amen. But you can amen it now, huh?
Oh, yeah. You were definitely throwing some major bricks tonight.
That's for sure. So, all right.
Also, be keeping me in prayer. I got back here. I took my shoes off. Both feet are swollen and beet red.
Ah. All right. Well, how would you like the privilege to close us in prayer tonight?
One thing I don't know if anybody knew, but Monday I had to appear in court on behalf of my ex-stepdad, brother Jim, and he was evicted. So now, unless the program he's under at the nursing home can find him housing, he's going to be in the same predicament I'm going to be in Friday if I don't have any help.
Okay. Well, like I said, do you want to give us the closing prayer, Em? Do you want that privilege tonight?
Are you putting me on the spot there, Kenny?
No, just asking.
I just figured I'd mess with you.
Just thought you'd like the privilege for once.
Sure, I'll do it. Lord,
all right, you're on.
All right, Jesus. I can't be on. I'm not sitting on the phone. I got it in my hand.
Okay.
Lord, I got to behave tonight. God, I thank you for this broadcast tonight, Lord. I ask that everything we said and did here was pleasing in your sight. I ask for this family that just lost a loved one here at the hotel, Lord. I ask you to be with them, comfort them as you only can, Lord. I also ask for my father and I, my ex-stepdad and I, that we find suitable housing for him when he gets out of the nursing home, and for me, that things would work out by Friday, that things will be in place to where I'll have a roof over my head and not have to worry about where I'm going to lay my head, Lord. And I just trust that you'll work this all out in your will and your time, Lord. I ask this all in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Darling.
And we ask everybody to join us for tomorrow night, a special program. And Emily, we want you to be on tomorrow night because you're the guest of honor. So,
happy birthday
what? To you. So we ask you to be on tomorrow night, Emily, because you're the guest of honor. And we are having a special program.
Okay.
Ask everybody to join with us. 9 p.m. Jumbo Braille program.
Yeah, because
yeah,
I'm going
to
turn
mischief. I know that we got a lot of people up to mischief about this party. So you're expecting some good gifts.
Let's put it this way. Normally a woman doesn't tell her age, but I'll be 52, and I know my grandkids are listening in tonight on three-way with me. So tomorrow night, you're going to be on the show with Nene.
Well, we hope they are. So we're just inviting everybody,
not,
9 p.m.
I'll
tomorrow night.
I'll have my son-in-law's on here, too.
All right.
Well, she's so pretty. It's too bad they didn't have VisiPhone, but we'll wing it.
All right. So we'll catch you tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Jumbo Braille, here on the Success
no.
Radio Network. God.
God bless.
God bless
everybody,
everyone.
Sleep. Night, night.